A financial slave is one who is spending their life working for money, and a financial master is spending their life and eventually having their money work for them. So a slave is where you're working for money all your life, and a master is one who has money working for them. So a financial master is one who's allowing themselves to pass up immediate gratification for long-term vision and accumulate enough money where the money's now working for them and paying them instead of they're working for money. I'd like to also start with, as we build this financial master, I'd like to share with you a story that has inspired me. Now, I'm not sure if you get a television show here called Biography by A&E. Do you have that here? Do you have Biography Channel? Well, Biography Channel in the United States is they take people who are celebrities or famous people or people who've made huge differences in the world, and they do a biographical sketch for an hour on these people. So they may have Marilyn Monroe, and they may have George Bush Sr., and they may have the gentleman you have here, Murdoch, as a News Corp. They may have people who have made huge impacts in the world, and they do biographical sketches on them. And it's very entertaining because you learned all about their lives, the ups and downs, the challenges that they face, and how they conquered them, and things of this nature. Well, I was watching Biography in A&E about five years ago. And it was this particular show was on the Fricks. Now, you may not know who the Fricks are, but they have a museum in New York, and they're a wealthy family, like the J.P. Morgans and like the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers. They're up in this category. And what they have done is they did this biography on their lives and what their contribution to the planet was. Well, in the biography, every single night, Mr. Frick, at midnight, would go down to his art gallery and read this particular text, this book. And from 12 midnight till 2 a.m., for 2 hours every single day while he was in New York, he would read this book. And I thought, well, any book that you would read day after day, week after week, year after year, for 2 hours a day, it must be some significant book. The name of the book was called The Book of Wealth. The Book of Wealth. Now, you can write that down, but I don't think you're going to be able to locate it. And I'll explain why in a minute. Although I am in the process of republishing this book, just to make it available to the majority of the world. You won't get it yet, in other words. It's not available. But this book, I immediately went the next day to the bookstore to try to locate this book because I thought anybody who's that wealthy and who's spending 2 hours a day studying this book, I would like to know something about that because I was dedicated to wanting to know how to build wealth in my life. So what I did is I went to the bookstore and the bookstore said, no, we don't know anything about this book. Have no record of it. But here's a card and you can call this rare bookstore and they might be able to locate it. Call the rare bookstore and it says, we've heard about the book, but we don't have access to the book. Here's another card. Contact this bookstore. I went into this bookstore, rare books, and it says, yes, we're familiar with this book, but there's none available across the world. And I said, well, what do you mean, none available? It says, it was a limited edition. There were 400 copies made. It was distributed to the wealthiest people across the planet, and it's not available. And I said, well, sooner or later, those people have to die. Sooner or later, that's going to be passed on in estates or something. Can I put a worldwide search on it? And if it comes out, just be the first one to grab it. I said, well, we can do that. Well, it just so happened, because you know the power of intention. When you intend something and you're very clear about it, things magically occur. So what happens is 2 days later, I'm in New York. My wife and I were living in Manhattan. 2 days later, we get a call from this bookstore, and the book company said, we just happened to find out that this book is now on an estate auction, and it's by Sotheby's, and it's about to be auctioned. Would you like us to bid for it? And I said, absolutely, whatever it costs. I didn't realize what it was going to cost, but so anyway, they bid for the book. I got the book. What happened is a woman whose husband had the book, who's extremely wealthy in New York, when they put their estate up for auction, she didn't really understand the significance of this book. He did. So I was able to get this book for a very good fee, and they delivered it. Now, what I didn't realize is that this book was not one book. It was a 10-volume set. Now, it made a little bit more explanation why he read it so long. And they were about this big, about almost 2 foot high and about 1.5 feet wide and about 1 inch thick. And let me explain this Book of Wealth, and this will give a precedent for what we're going. What the Book of Wealth is the history of the human race in relationship to wealth building. So he goes back to the Sumerians and the Chaldeans and the Egyptians and the Greeks and the Romans. And it went around the world and it chronologically showed the wealthiest individuals, wealthiest institutions, wealthiest organizations in the world throughout history and how they built the wealth and why they built the wealth. Well, how do they do this? So in other words, who built the Egyptian pyramids? Who built the Babylon walls? And how did they do it? And how did they accumulate the wealth to do this? And so in these 10 volumes, it goes back from the recorded history all the way till the time when the book was done in 1896. It was written by Hubert Howe Bancroft. That was actually who did the compilation. It's a masterpiece.